Volcano.
Yes!
Rumors and rumbling.
That's awesome!
Let the filibustering begin.
Time once again, ma'am, fam, for little movie news, rumors, rumblings, roundup as we exit scary movie season here in Mad About Movies and in the VIP. And we move into the fall, officially into the awards window. A couple big blockbusters still to come. We'll talk about all that stuff here, but make sure you stick around to the end for some weekly recommends, because that's always a fun time. Welcome into this episode. I'm Kent, hosting with my co-hosts this week, Brian Gill and the new dad, Richard Arby Barden. Hey, man, welcome back. And you are a new man. Did you change immediately? People say you feel a change. Did you feel a change?
Well, I finally got body hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His beard is incredible now. Just yeah. Immediately. Yeah.
Immediately. And I'm super into IPAs and baseball. Yeah, and that's it. Nothing else. Yeah. It's definitely Brian knows it's a wonderful experience, and you'll know one of these days, Ken, probably, and it's great, and everyone is bored by it. So it's wonderful. He's great. You know, I'm not available.
Would you like to reveal the name? Because we did not do that last week. We were leaving that up to you.
That's nice of you. You guys are very funny. I listened to the open. And nothing else. his name is Jude Edward Barden.
Jeb. Man, I was close with James Edward.
You were. I texted Sarah when you said that. I said, Kent is dangerous.
Man, I thought I was closer on James than on Edward. But
there you go.
Given that your wife's maiden name, that makes total sense. Well, I don't know why that popped into my head, but literally I just thought of a name randomly, and that's what popped. Maybe it was fate, you know, that drew
not
me
that
towards
it's a,
that.
A super uncommon name, meaning her maiden name, Edwards, but her family, her generation are all girls, so that's kind of dying off, so I thought it'd be a fun, and I like the name Edward, to kind
of... Because of as an homage, Edward's his aunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you love Twilight. You were very notoriously
Twilight.
Team
I
Edward.
I love Edward Scissorhands. I love Eduardo
Ed
Nahara.
McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah. So... All of those four things, yeah. We always had together. Then, yeah, Jude was always we were always going.
It's actually just a coincidence that her maiden name was Edwards. I didn't even think about it until afterward. It was all these other things.
It was. Yeah, but he's a great, very cute little guy. And we call him the truffle pig.
Nice.
Because he's one of the, or I call him either the truffle pig or Joe Burrow. Because he's always burrowing in my chest or Sarah's chest trying to find milk. It's like we don't feed him, but we feed him a ton. Mm-hmm. But
Red Bull, that doesn't count.
He's a growing boy.
FYI. Yeah. Yeah.
He is. He is a growing boy.
You're juicing his milk with creatine powder, right?
Avi, dude. Yeah. We
growth
got a supplement.
Supplements.
Yeah. I got him on it. Yeah. I got him. It's called the DC
HGH.
Plan.
HGH.
Yeah, he looks basically like 2 weeks into pre-production J.K. Simmons right now. So we have a few more weeks to get that full shred. Like he's growing the mass, but he doesn't really have the cut yet, you know, because that's when you cut out water and then you go pure crystal meth. And then that's how you get the cut.
Yeah,
he doesn't have that yet, but the mass is getting there. Yeah. But he's a lovely, sweet little boy who hangs out, and you know they're useless at this point, but they're very cute.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I don't know how to be sincere, but I
newest,
just
newest member of the Mam Fam. He'll be taking over this show before we know it. Coop has already proven his podcasting abilities, Brian. So
wow, I never thought about that. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be
just
cool?
Hand it just, off?
We just handed it off. Yeah, legacy.
Cool. Yeah, I like it.
That
Coop's
would be
been
cool.
After me.
But we still, you know, take all the ad and...
Right, yeah, obviously.
We own the rights. Yeah,
right, of course. College wasn't free, my guy. Coop's been after me about he wants to start his own podcast, and I'm just like, do you need that? Is that sure? Are we sure about that? But he's...
Just tell him he's doing one.
Yeah, I guess
you're like, oh, great podcast, son. Yeah. Let me post it real quick. Yeah, beep, exactly. Boop, beep, beep.
Yep.
And it's on the internet. Congratulations.
Grandma loved it. Yeah. Congratulations.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's very what does he want to cover?
Just pop culture. He wants to talk about movies and Pokemon and video games and all this. So I don't know. I may
it's that thing where you're like, that seems like a terrible idea. Nothing against Coop. He's an awesome, smart kid. I just mean a kid doing that. And then 2 weeks from now, I'll see a kid that did that. And that's worth $110 million from his YouTube because other kids all watch him talk about Pokemon. So I think you should do it.
Yeah.
And you said before you had Coop, you're like, we're going to monetize the crap out of this.
Yeah, that was the main point of having a kid.
You need to stick to that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If he's not spitting out cash by 12, he's useless.
Right.
Totally. Exactly.
Stay to it, bro.
I tell him all the time.
So. By the way, Richard, if you want Jude's domain names, get at me. And for a small fee, they can
be yours. Roll out of me? Absolutely. No, I will. I'll hit you up on Zelle.
Something we never got to get your thoughts on last week was the James Gunn to DC move.
Yeah,
Richard, what was your reaction when you saw James Gunn is gonna be the Feige of DC?
Just the awkward timing because he still has a Marvel movie to promote.
Yeah, he's not done with it; like he's still making it.
Yeah, right. So that seems very DC-ish in that that's not a bad move, and I certainly understand it. And I think he could probably do a very good job, and I think he's certainly got an eye for all comic material and all that. But like, it's so them to rush that announcement instead of just being like, hey, finish your thing. We'll roll it out. They're just like, oh, you signed the paper. She's running to like, And so I fully expect there to be a 14 picture and television phased out announcement before any movie comes out still, which is their modus operandi. But they will definitely, I do trust that they'll be better because he's good. He can do these things pretty well. But yeah, it was just a very funny, the timing made me laugh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly. It feels like they can go, maybe two directions. I don't know if they're going to try to unify this thing like the MCU is. It'd be interesting to see how James Gunn is able to unify the Black Adam, Superman side of things, you know, whether they keep those characters. Apparently, they're still keeping the Flash, and we'll maybe talk about that in a bit, but seems to be a little bit different than the stuff they've got going on with James Gunn in Suicide Squad and the Peacemaker series he has on HBO. It seems to be not very connected. I wonder how he's going to unite them, and that'll be interesting because, I don't know, James Gunn seemed to do some great work with John Cena. See what he can do with The Rock. Maybe he can fix that a little bit.
Couldn't hurt.
Insert some real humor into it. But the thing that makes James Gunn movies, I can't say it all the time. James Gunn movies is like he kind of pushes the envelope content-wise.
Yeah.
On a lot of fronts. If WB wants to just counter-program Marvel, that might be their best move. It's like, hey, we're making comic book movies for adults.
Yes, I'm with you, but like to an extent, but also counterpoint to that, I think he operates best when he pushes an envelope when there is an envelope, meaning when you have that push from the other side going, yes, James gunned this up a bit, but we're still Marvel and it needs to be this.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be PG-13. Yeah.
You can push us a bit, but like at the end of the day, like it's got to be this. If he doesn't and he doesn't have that, it might still be good, but it could very also easily be super. Where you go, that was a really R-rated, fun, interesting movie that no mass audience because, you know, on the internet, like we forget sometimes that these are a huge part of this audience, their children, especially for the recurring revenue of toys, costumes, video games, whatever. And my concern would be, if I'm Warner Brothers, who I have no faith in, but if suddenly the three of us are running Warner Brothers, I would say, James, I want you to push an envelope, but here is a freaking envelope and you get to push within it. But like, we're going to give you some framework because if we just let you do you, you're going to do something that could be great, but I would worry about the returns on that.
Yeah.
Cause we are trying to make money with these.
I'd be surprised if he even directs any of these movies. Maybe he does another Suicide Squad. Maybe they do a Peacemaker movie. But if you're him, can't you just find great people, sign on as executive producer, and check all day? Like,
it could be great.
Maybe we're not getting James Gunn movies per se, more than just James Gunn, the tastemaker at the helm.
And that's true. Like, that's the great unknown, which makes it interesting, is he could be awesome at that. He could also not have no, you know, just be a very good director that has no eye for that. And we don't know.
Yeah, I think that that's the deal that I mean, he may be great at this. Maybe he may be totally great at it.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige's not really a creative, and
yeah,
at least as far as I know. I mean, maybe I'm an idiot, but he is. I think of him at least as much more of an executive type, and he just happens.
But he has good taste.
Yeah, exactly. He happens to have good taste, or at least if you hate Marvel movies, fine, whatever. He has mass audience taste. He has broad taste.
Yeah,
And he
money making taste
to be good at you know, for the most part, there have been some dips here and there, but he's good at working with creatives and
finding them people that you never
totally
think would do something like this and
right and so you know it remains to be. I mean, I'm not. This is a better hire than what they've done in the past, for sure. It also, I mean, there's a very real chance, I think, in 3 or 5 years that we're looking at the slate of movies that have come out under Gunn's kind of tenure or whatever, or purview, and we're like, this is not so great. I also think there's a real chance that we get some creative, interesting movies, which is the number one thing that I would like to have happen, because I've not felt like much of DC Extended Universe has been super creative or interesting, but also movies that don't hit the numbers that they're looking for. I mean, you just hinted at it, Richard, but like he has a very distinct niche style of filmmaking, and I think of interest and taste, and that works great when it's Guardians of the Galaxy. It worked okay for me. I'm not a huge fan of the Suicide Squad movie, but it was fine. And it was really, a lot of people really enjoyed it. That's fine. It made a solid amount of money. But like, does his taste work for Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman or whatever else?
Because and you're right. Those have to be in, how does that affect the Pattons in Batman and all that stuff? But also like, you're right. It's not just about making money. I understand at some level, I hate using this word, especially when it's about people in freaking capes, but on some level there's art to it, but the money part comes in, like that's what pays. It has to be a perpetually money-making machine for it to continue going, to make 20 movies, you know, to tell the full story, to have something interesting over a long breadth of years. And it's like, you know, we talk about the Marvel movies being wide appeal, and people could say, well, that's not necessarily, who cares how much money they make, whatever. But it's like, but that's, you know, the fact that Ant-Man makes a lot of money means they can do something interesting with, you know, Shang-Zi or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said that really wrong. I'm tired. But like, the hits afford the risks. And if you do the risk first, it doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Totally. You need them to be good movies, and also, ideally, you need them to make $1.5 billion too. And that's at least some of them, you know, because that's and what keeps the rest like, of them going.
That's cool and not scary. Yeah. And I want to put that on my lunchbox.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got to think this is them announcing this is just a Q4 stock price move. Like, let's get this puppy up the profits a little bit and work, be able to work a little bit more as we close out this year. And it's funny because Zaz said he approached Kevin Feige, or Feige says that he got approached for this job and politely declined. But you got to give credit for at least asking. Like, I'd be pissed for not asking. Like, because, you know, like, deep down, you never know. Feige might be, like, the biggest Batman, Superman fan of all time. He's like, and things aren't working out for Marvel, or he's unhappy. And it's like, oh, my God, thank you for asking for me. Yes, I'd love to do it. You know, you never know. That could have happened. And that would have been incredible if that had happened. Feige had moved over to DC, that would have, I don't know, broken the comic boy brain on Twitter or whatever it is. But I just love the balls by Zaz to just like, you know what, I'm going for Feige, screw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which I'm sure, which is funny too, because after the bad press that he has rightly earned over the last few months, like, I just imagine Feige taking that call. Don't you assume that, like, he got off the call and he texted his friends and was just
they ordered champagne in the Marvel room and they all partied the rest of the day. Like, this is so funny. Yeah. I would have just laughed my butt off if I was Feige, but, like, if you're like I said, you never know. The guy might be a huge fan and might be looking for a good opportunity to get out, and that might have been it with a regime change and new people involved. They certainly have the intellectual property to take it where Marvel has. Mm-hmm. Whether they do that, I don't know. I think the Pattinson stuff, the Matt Reeves side of things, you know, they could have certainly moved him into that position. But it seems like he's going to do the Batman series and do the Batman series and have that as his thing. Be interested to see if they bring that over into this at all, into the Black Adam stuff. James Gunn can make that work. I'd be interested to see that, but I think you need Batman in this side of things too, somehow, some way. I don't know what they do there. They cast somebody else, they bring back Batfleck in some way. I don't know. Because we know we have Cavill back, so it seems like they're at least grasping to whatever life that the Snyderverse had, they're trying to carry over. But that'd be interesting to see how this all plays out here in the next year or two. I feel like they're going to make some big announcements and we'll see.
Yeah. I'm looking at this just a little, cause I think the deal is you want to make good movies, but they also need to make $1 billion. There have been 51 movies that have made $1 billion worldwide. The only entries, this is still stunning to me, cause Batman v Superman, we said at the time, like, that should have been an easy, you have Batman and Superman in a movie, that should be an easy $1.5 billion. And it, you know, it did not do that. The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises, like, are obviously DC Warner Brothers properties, but it's not really the DC Extended Universe, but that's fine. We'll give it to him. Both of those movies hit the $1 billion mark. The only other two from this run to hit that mark are Joker and Aquaman.
Wow.
Just Aquaman. Over $1 billion for, yeah. Aquaman's number. Aquaman is the biggest one of this bunch. It's the 25th biggest open, or excuse me, the 25th biggest of all time. Compare and contrast that with, I know every time we do Marvel, DC, we get people to gripe about comparing and all this. I just mean this from the business side of things. This is what Warner Brothers wants from these properties, is to make tons and tons of money and compete with Marvel. Marvel has Avengers Endgame, Avengers Infinity War, Spider-Man No Way Home, The Avengers. Those are all in the top 10. Those are four of the top nine highest grossing movies of all time. Avengers, Age of Ultron, Black Panther also in there. Iron Man 3, Captain America Civil War, Spider-Man Far From Home. All of that's like, that one is on par with Aquaman. The number one is Marvel's, I think, ninth biggest open at this point. So Captain Marvel in there too. I mean, this is what they're trying to get to. And it's, you know, we'll see. We'll see if Gunn is the right guy for that, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because none of those properties were Guardians of the Galaxy. And that's the guy there.
Yeah.
They went after.
Guardians
was that
topped out around 800, I believe. Volume 2 is 865. I don't see Guardians on here. So I think it's around, I'm sure I'm missing it somewhere in here. But yeah, I think it's somewhere around $800 million.
Yeah. Well, that is super interesting. And does it feel, I mean, it feels like to me, we're about, I don't know, 10 days away or so. It feels like Wakanda Forever might be the movie to end all movies. It really does. Like, that might be just like, all right, shut it down, guys. This is it. This is going to make more money and be better. And I mean, it's blown me away with how they've kind of rolled out the advertising, and the trailers have all been great. Yeah. I don't think the hype has any more potential to be higher than it is right now. I think the way they've, handled the press and everything is great, and I'm mega hyped, but it feels like
dang, this might be the movie of the year at the end of the day. And it's like, sorry, Avatar 2. We're still watching Wakanda Forever. It's the new Top Gun Maverick. It's still relevant after 8 weeks, and we all still love it.
Yeah, could be. It also feels like it's a little bit insulated from Marvel fatigue. I think it's getting...
Yeah.
It's going to get, I think, fresher eyes and a little more of, I don't want to say an open mind, but it definitely has started to feel like with the Marvel movies, both from a critical standpoint and an audience standpoint, that there is starting to be some like, all right, I've had enough of this kind of thing, or yeah, we've already seen this kind of thing or whatever. This one feels like it's fairly safe or insulated from that at this point, but we'll see. We'll see.
Very excited for that. And again, that'll come up here pretty soon. I know you guys are hyped for that. It had a bunch of Coogler elements in the in the trailer. I mean, the quintessential Coogler over the shoulder shot has been sprinkled all over that. Speaking of Coogler, you guys are excited for Creed 3. The trailer dropped for this. We've got Michael B. Jordan in the director's chair this time, handling the ending to his trilogy, this new rebooted Rocky trilogy. And stepping back into the role of Adonis Creed. And it looks like we've got Jonathan Majors as his opponent this time around, Brian. How hyped are you, Mr. Creed?
Exceedingly hyped. Yeah, that's been my nickname since high school. It's weird. It's changed
meanings over the years.
A few times. Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, dude, this is... I'm very hyped for this. I wish that it was like Thanksgiving instead of March or whatever. But I love this world. Creed is legitimately one of my 10 favorite movies of all time. Thought the second one was really good. But yeah, like adding Majors to the... I mean, come on, what are we doing? Like this is just borderline unfair. I'm very pumped for this.
Extremely totally unfair. What about you, Richard?
Yeah, Majors is so unsettling even in just the trailer. So it'll be interesting how they play that. I can't imagine that trailer hints that he's a lot more villainous than letting on. I would be funny if he did that back to back with Marvel, you know, then you kind of get booked into just playing scary dudes. But he's a scary dude in that trailer, and that it didn't look like it missed a beat without Coogler, with Michael B. Jordan in the director's chair. So I'm pumped at no Sly. So that's scary, but I think it'll be awesome.
What is this app I've seen advertised that it's like Fantasy Hollywood? Have you seen this? I don't know what it's called. You can like buy stock in somebody's
exchange thing.
Somebody's career, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I need to.
It's interesting.
I got in and I spent everything on Chris Fleming stock. Blew it all on Chris Williams.
I feel like we could do pretty good at a game like that.
I don't know if it's the same thing or not. There was a big... When fantasy sports was making, like, before the daily stuff started, really, I think Matthew Berry was involved in this Hollywood stock exchange thing. But the game was way too complicated to play. Like, it wasn't... I like complicated rules and stuff for things like that, but it was too much, and I messed around with it for a little bit, and then I was like, what? Why am I doing this? This is too much work for what it is, and it was hard, I think, to convey to the average movie fan like how this works and what it was doing and all this kind of stuff. I don't know if you're talking about the exact same thing, Kent, or if it shifted into something else, but. But it was it had a moment, and it wasn't the thing that I felt like it could be.
Yeah, man, the Jonathan Major stock is at an all time high. Yeah. Can't wait for his King the Conqueror arc. They've announced a couple of movies, and he seems to be popping up in Quantumania quite prominently.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Major's era, let it officially begin. I'm psyched for it. We still seem to be in the middle of the Chris Pratt voiceover era, guys. Never ends.
Man, the internet.
Chris Pratt.
Gets
this guy's getting
really angry about that.
Roll after roll. So the Super Mario Brothers trailer dropped with the long-awaited debut of Chris Pratt's Mario
which led to some incredible memes. I mean, you almost want your movie to become a meme at this point. It feels like it's going to do a lot better on opening weekend. It worked for Sonic, that's for sure. Mario trailer. Guys, this movie is going to make an easy bill.
Yeah.
Right? Like, every kid is going to be so into this. It looks awesome. It's the same people, I think, that did Lego Movie that are doing it, maybe. I don't know. Looks great and seems to have a lot of humor involved. And Mario is certainly a property that hasn't been taken advantage of on the film side of things over the years when it comes to recognizable universal characters that seemingly every kid in the world knows. And yeah, very confusing why they haven't capitalized on that over the years with cinema. But here we are. And I thought it looked awesome. And the voice was fine, I guess. I don't know. He said like two words, I think, in the trailer. But
I got to be honest, I know that the internet, like, its whole deal is just outrage. Like, what are we angry about today kind of thing?
How dare you? Come on.
I enjoy it personally.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I log in every day. What are we angry about today, guys?
You do text us that every morning at 6:30.
I do.
Yep. It's your Pizza Pie Friday.
Yeah. But even for the internet, that one was like, it's probably going to be okay, guys. I mean, it's not like Mario is like an authentic Italian plumber. So I don't know that we need to be this upset about
it. Isn't Charles Martinet really not even Italian either? The guy that everyone wants to be him, isn't he not full Italian? I don't know.
Is he only half Italian?
Yeah.
Can't
order a chicken parm, though. Yeah.
Can't he order a chicken parm? That's all that matters. That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Yeah, only in certain cities, you know.
Okay.
But
this movie is great. Yeah, great idea to make this and prepare a little Jude for that to be his first movie.
Seems like
if he sees the trailer, he's just going to cry until he sees it again.
Can't wait for that phase.
Don't introduce him to Minions, though. Just avoid...
I'm gonna introduce the Minions. I'm gonna be like, this is what you do with your Uncle Kent. You guys go see these together. And he's gonna look at you with those doe eyes and be like, my dad said I can only see Minions if I see it with you. And you're gonna have to be like, no.
About. I've never seen Minions.
That would be a great bit by me.
Your dad's the one who watched it with you 80 times. Maybe you should try it with him.
Go ask Uncle Kent.
He clearly likes Uncle it. Kent? I have some Richard Minions blackmail saved that I'm very excited about too. I'm just waiting for the moment to bust that bad boy out. So don't test me in these waters. You will lose the Minion game. We're excited. I'm excited at least about the rise of the dawn of the kingdom of the planet of the apes coming out pretty soon.
The war for the kingdom of the planet of the apes.
Yeah. Seems like they're rebooting this thing already, or at least continuing where Matt Reeves left off. Oh. And because the apes aren't full, they're not fully where they were at the original Planet of the Apes, which is where we're trying to get to in terms of prequels. And so we'll see that evolution over the course of these next movies. And so, I can't wait. Can't wait for these. That was such a fun trilogy, and the technology and how they do the apes has gotten so much better over the years that I can't wait to see the next iteration of that.
I love that trilogy so much. I think it's
really good.
So good. I mean, and the first one's not even is like fine. The second and third one are outstanding movies.
The only bummer about the other two is they couldn't keep Franco for all three.
That's what you're constantly saying, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I was like, Oldman's great.
I think it would have worked better in retrospect if we had Franco for all three. We could look back.
I agree, but it's just such a shame that he was inappropriate with that ape. You know,
this is who did they announced somebody as the director of this, and I've forgotten. Do you remember?
It's James Franco.
Yeah, it's the guy that did the Maze Runner series.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's a little, that was worrisome.
Yeah. Remember?
I haven't seen those, but you guys did episodes, I think, on all of them.
First time, Richard, we did an episode on the third one of those, and you were like, I thought this was the Divergent series. That was a good bit. That was a good time. Yeah. West Ball. Okay. That's fine.
Which one has Shailene Woodley?
That's Divergent.
Divergent. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And is Aaron Rodgers in those?
Unfortunately, not yet. Not yet. He's
waiting for John Wick 5.
He rolls in on the Maze Runner and discount double checks that spaceship right in space.
Be much prefer Rogers not to have a movie career if at all possible.
Oh, it's coming.
Be subjected
to
that.
It's coming. Yeah. Yeah. No
Just
question.
So much charisma.
Yeah, absolutely. What's before we wrap up this movie news segment and hit a weekly recommend on this main feed edition of Mad About Movies, what's your most anticipated movie of the year still yet to come? Richard.
Banshees of Inisherin or Inisherin or whatever you say it. The new Martin McDonough. Yeah, easy. Can't wait.
Nice.
Some people have been seeing that this week, and it's been getting great, great reviews.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped. Pumped for that one.
What about you, Vigo?
Blockbuster side of things, I can't wait for Black Panther. That was Coop's like number one movie ever for a long time. Really pumped to see that one again. And then, you know, let me be very basic. The Fablemans. I can't wait for The Fablemans. Yeah.
Can I change Banshees to one of my movie draft picks with like, now that I have like The Good Nurse and crap on here?
I know. RIP the movie draft. Gosh, such a beating.
Hey, fourth time will be the charm.
Yeah, I know. We'll make some changes next year. We'll get it right.
Yeah.
What about you, Kent? What sticks out as
For me, definitely the Babylon.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Damien's. It clocks in 3 hours, 8 minutes, fellas. Mm-hmm. Strap in. Let's go. Let's do it.
Oh, that's I'm ready. I mean, like, if anyone's going to make a 3-hour movie, then I'm interested in it. He's up there.
Sure.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of... We've said this last couple years have been very let down, but I think this is going to be a very Brian, Richard, and Kent award season. I think we might have some fun, boys.
Could be good, yeah.
I'm hoping so. I looked at my top 10 list earlier today, and it's like, man, I don't know if I want to lock this bad boy in right now. Hopefully there's something that can...
I think there's some fun stuff coming.
You got some good stuff coming. We mentioned the Empire of Light could be really good.
Does the Leonard Bernstein movie this year?
Reviews. No, it's next year.
Oh, man, that one.
I'm hyped for Tar, though.
Yeah, big year for orchestra conductor movies. Yeah. So. Yeah. If we can get a Mr. Holland's Opus sequel, all we can ask for.
The Bernstein movie is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Both use a lot of Mahler. Kent knows I'm a Mahler nerd. Both are big Mahler Nation stand up, Mahler strong. But but I'm pumped for Tar. I'm gonna, hopefully we can get a sneak out and see Tar soon, but I have a baby, so I'm probably not.
Yeah, the VIPs have been talking about that one a lot.
It's been hot.
Been waiting
Armageddon time opens this week, I think, some places. Nice.
Banshees comes out this weekend.
Yeah, Banshees is out. Yeah,
I'm hyped for that. I haven't been that excited for that kind of movie in a long time.
Sweet. I can't wait for that. And we'll be covering all that here on the main feed. A lot of fun times ahead on Mad About Movies. Guys, before we get out of here, let's hit a quick weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
What you got for us this week, B. Gill?
Pulling up the name of it right now. Hold on a second. This is I'm going to recommend a podcast series that I listen to, and of course now has disappeared from my podcast player.
Called Club Random.
How great is that text every Sunday night for me? I know that's right up Ken's wheelhouse. Like, that has to get a chuckle out of Ken every night.
It's a good time. Okay.
I don't understand the celebrity that already has a TV show diving into podcasting. It's like, dude.
I mean, I'm never going to listen to it, but I'm obsessed with it. Theoretically, obsessed with it.
Yeah, the bit. It's a great album, though. You know, just your last album was so good. Like, oh, thanks, man. By the way, he's talking to Kid Rock. So, is it? All right. This show is called Waiting for Impact. It came out late last year. It's a 10-part series.
Okay.
Limited series thing. It is a Dave Holmes passion project that's the subtitle. You guys remember Dave Holmes from the MTV days back in the day? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like him.
Yeah, I do too. It was one of my favorite MTV I don't think he was ever actually a VJ. Doesn't matter. One of my favorite.
Yeah, he used to fill in for Carson Daly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
On Cage. Yeah.
One of my favorite MTV personalities from that era.
Dave sure. Holmes, big friend of Rob Fee, friend of the show.
Oh, really?
Those
okay.
Two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool, cool.
Hangs out with that crowd.
This it's again 10-part series. It finished in like December of last year, so it's done, which I like. You can go listen to the whole series if you are interested in this. It starts with him in the Boyz II Men Motown Philly music video, which is a very famous music video from that time. They introduce the rest of Mike Bivens's crew at the time, like the bands or the acts that had signed to his label, which was Another Bad Creation. Boyz II Men obviously is like of R&B is the biggest band in the world for 3 to 5 years, 8 years, something like that. I mean, just like, oh my gosh, unbelievable, over
monsters,
the top.
Monster albums.
Yeah. Another Bad Creation had some hits, and they're in this music video, and then there's like this 1 second clip of a band called Sudden Impact, and it's like six white guys in this video, and nothing ever comes out from them. They never release any music. There's nothing to show for them appearing in this music video. And Dave Holmes' whole thing is like, this has bothered me for 30 years, basically.
That's incredible. I love and passion yeah, like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cool, it was a really love interesting, it. Funny thing that he has been. It's, I don't know. Like, again, this was like 91, I think, when that video came out. There's no real internet. There's no way to find these things out if you don't know. And then there's so many pieces of pop culture from this period that just have disappeared because it was pre-internet and there wasn't Wikipedia and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, so that's the whole thing is like I've been obsessed with this for 30 years. What happened to Sudden Impact? Why was there no music? What can I find out about this band? And so this, I think it was made like late stage pandemic. And he's just bored and was like, all right, I'm going to figure out what happened. And so that's what he does. So he sets out to interview these people, to find these people, interview them. And then he kind of takes it into like, let's talk about the 90s of music and in music and like how quickly everything shifts from 80s pop and 80s hair metal to this R&B, the Boyz II Men Mariah Carey era of music, which is huge, but lasts for like a year because then Nirvana completely changes all of music. And some talk about that. He even gets into Amy Grant, the Queen. It's a really interesting, I think, I know you would like it, Richard. I think you would probably like it as well, Kent. And listeners too. It should probably be 8 episodes, for being honest. Like it's a little too long in places. There's some filler that maybe some of the filler is great. Some of it maybe is a little bit less so. But overall, it's a pretty easy listen. And I was really really into it. So Waiting for Impact, the Dave Holmes passion project is the rec. So.
A little friendship trivia for you guys. On my birthday last year, I'm looking at this podcast. I didn't know about it, but I'm looking at the episode that came out on my birthday last year, November 9th, features my favorite MTV VJ from that era, Damian Fahey. Love Damian Fahey.
Oh yeah. 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 Uh-huh.
And he is how I found Broadway Bill Lee.
Oh, nice.
He introduced that. Broadway. I followed him on like Twitter or Instagram or something. And he like retweeted. It was like, this guy rules. And I was like, this guy does rule. And I shared him with you guys, and now that's like the official mascot of our friendship is the legend, Broadway Bill.
That's awesome.
Hall of Famer, I would say.
The best.
Radio Hall of Famer.
He should be on Cameo. He could be making so much money on Cameo.
Oh, yeah. I would only buy my friends Broadway Bill. Even if they didn't know who he was, I'd be like, yep.
Awesome.
Happy birthday. I got you this poem from Broadway Bill. So, $50 every time. Can I get a subscribe and save, Broadway? Can I just pay you monthly? Let's put you on retainer. I got a lot of friends.
Just a Patreon for this. Yeah.
Good. What you got on the recommend side of things, Richard?
Yeah, I've got an album from Ken. I think you probably have listened to this. I've just been listening, tootling around on Spotify. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Have you listened to the Changes album yet?
I haven't listened to that album yet, though. But I was listening to an older album of theirs last week. And I was asking my wife if her dad listens to them too, because he's into that kind of that style. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really, but for some reason it popped. I mean, I knew of them and I saw they had a new album and I saw it was getting decent buzz. So I just like was sitting in my, I think I was literally like waiting for Jude to be born. So I like threw it on because I had nothing to do and liked it a lot. So yeah, you know, it's time. It's important to branch out every once in a while. Yeah. It's a good album. I think you'll like it a lot. Again.
Yeah. I'm only recently starting to get into like fusion music.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a band that I'm excited to dig more into. But gosh, they're huge. They're everywhere. They have so many albums, too. It's pretty crazy.
This one's tight. Prolific. Which I like. It's like a 40-minute long album. Mm-hmm. And it's only like seven songs. And the songs are a little jam bandy and psychedelic, but like at least the album itself is a nice, tight listen.
Awesome. Cool. I'm glad that has your endorsement because I know you have good taste. In music.
Thanks, man.
Well, big music themed weekly recommends here. I'm going to recommend a documentary, music themed documentary. Have you guys watched this Clive Davis documentary yet?
No, I
like it. Came out in 2019. Yeah. It's called The Soundtrack of Our Lives. Mm-hmm. And Clive Davis is a. Who's playing him in the Whitney Houston movie? Can't remember.
Shoot.
Somebody pretty interesting.
Yes.
Paul Giamatti, of course. No. He's every music executive.
Less interesting.
That's a great. I forgot who had that. Maybe the Rank Kings when I was on there talking about.
Oh, Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci. It's perfect.
Okay. But now I'm back in. Now I'm back in.
Yeah.
Should also play Gabriel Alone, by the way.
But yeah, Giamatti should just play every music executive in every movie. I think that would be a great bit. But Clive Davis, a Columbia Records executive who discovered some of the most iconic musicians of all time, just a guy who was a lawyer, got kind of thrown into the job, not a creative at all, just an incredible tastemaker, had an ear for it, just would sit in his office and listen to demos all day, listen to songs and say, hey, Whitney, I think you should record this one as a song, as a single, you know, that kind of thing. And I mean, he could have retired after just like one of the artists. He's like, oh, you discovered Simon and Garfunkel? Yeah, you can retire. You're good. Yeah. You know how many A&R guys work their entire career to try to find one artist that pops? Right. This guy is signing him like, I mean, every day, Bruce Springsteen and Patti Smith and Earth, Wind, and Fire and The Grateful Dead. And Santana, Whitney Houston. It's just unbelievable the amount of artist Alicia Keys later demerit in his
for
career.
Santana, right?
I mean, he's the one
credit for all the others.
He's the one who paired him up with Rob Thomas. Like, dude, you're irrelevant. Here, let me make you relevant again. And boom, he was the most relevant guy. That it was like incredible. This dude,
that was smooth. You can't argue.
Can't argue with that. No, actually, he had like eight hits on that record, so it wasn't just that song. But
yeah, there was that. Was it Maria Maria?
Maria Maria, and then there was the one with Michelle Branch. Hey, a little bit of this.
Oh, you killers.
Got that one, too.
Yeah.
There was a Vanessa Carlton one, I think, on that record, too, that might have popped a little bit.
I think there's a Dave Matthews on there, too. And I remember speaking of being at Dave Matthews' band in high school and maybe, enjoying myself and... Maria Maria, whatever that band was, opened for some reason, unclear why, and being like, where am I right now? What is happening? Because they just came out. A 1-2.
I think the greatest discovery, though, of his career was Kenny G, for sure. I mean, right.
Hey, there you go. Made a lot of money for him.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I'm looking at the list here. Loggins and Messina.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Joel.
Aerosmith.
Yeah. But again, two step forward.
Rod Stewart, big career revival for Rod Stewart under Clive Davis when he, sort of how he became a crooner was because of him. Barry Manilow made him the crooner that he is because he was just like a songwriter dude. Unbelievable. This one guy that was a lawyer just, you talked about earlier, like, oh, he's not a creative. I just think you have to have good taste. You know, you don't have to be creative. Mm-hmm. I think your taste record has to speak for itself. And it's just amazing to me, guys like Clive Davis, guys like Rick Rubin, who have no musical background. They're simply just, I like this, I don't like this type of people. And that's an amazing thing to be able to find that many great artists in a career. Clive Davis still with us, by the way, still popping off. And Treasure.
Wow, the Kinks. I didn't realize you signed the Kinks. Well, or worked with.
Yeah, you guys will really dig this documentary. Just nice. Great retrospective on his career. It's like, dang, all these bands are awesome. So, and he kind of narrates it. And he throws in a huge Grammy party every year. That's like the party to go to at the Grammys. And there's a lot of great unreleased footage of those parties because there's a lot of different artists that go to that too. But everyone loves that guy. Hope he doesn't get canceled someday because that would suck.
Yeah, he was born in the 30s. Saying, so yeah. More than a
it's always possible. Yeah. Always possible. It's always
that's
lurking,
what I'm saying.
You know? Oh, man, he signed Tony Braxton. So he ruined the 90s Mavs. Right. I hope he does get canceled.
I'm out on this. Yeah, sorry.
Well, sorry. Sorry for that recommend. Maybe the Mayhem family will enjoy it. It's called Soundtrack of Our Lives, Clive Davis. It's a documentary out. All right, there's recommends, and there is the news of the moment. Here on the Mad About Movies main feed, make sure you're subscribed to the VIP because Brian and Richard dove into 1997's The Rainmaker, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Got a little Damon, got a little DeVito, literally. And yeah, good John Grisham. Did you? How much did you guys get into the fact of John Grisham just being everywhere in the 90s? Because yeah,
we did.
We talked about it.
Talked about it.
My main memory is just walking into the airport store, just John Grisham.
What we learned
smacking me in the face.
It's weird that Coppola made a Grisham movie. It's even weirder that there is a Robert Altman Grisham movie that Brian and I did not know existed until this podcast. So there's a little Easter egg.
There's a little teaser. Check it out this week in the VIP, madaboutmovies.com/VIP. Get you that and all of the other hundreds of throwback conversations, bonus episodes over there. We'll see you next time at the cinema. Goodbye.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me yah-yah. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.